Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, you've got no eyes, but you do have your health. Kind of. How's it going?
I have the opposite of that. I have the opposite of eyes, but I've also given up, so.
Well, at least your senses will be heightened like a superhero.
So no hope, cool. No eyes, no change.
It's like the alternate ending to the Matrix. Matrix Revolutions.
See, and that's where I went to too. As someone said, "How are you typing if you're blind?" And I said, "I'm like Neo." And I realized that there's a lot of people on Twitter that actually wouldn't realize that reference. And I was like, "Oh God!" So
that's not that old.
It's getting old.
It's 11 years.
Yeah, it's getting old.
God,
that's like a Trading Places reference when you and I were in high school.
Oh, I love that movie. It really did bum me out. I found out like 2 years ago that the majority of that cast is dead. And they had been dead for a while, but I didn't know it until I actually like just started looking it up. And so, yeah, that was a shocking moment for me.
Dan Aykroyd feels dead.
His career's dead.
Eddie Murphy is kind of alive, but not really. He's more machine now than man.
He's alive, but he doesn't feel anything anymore.
Right. Jamie Lee Curtis is alive.
Yeah, she's kind of crazy, though. She's maybe too alive.
Too alive?
One of my favorite, it was such a little, like, spoof, and it's not, like, even an all-time great, but, like, one of my favorite Saturday Night Live things of the last, I don't know, 5-6 years was Kristen Wiig doing the Activia spoof, where she's Jamie Lee Curtis, and, like, Activia just, like, drives her insane.
Yeah.
It was really solid. Look that up on the old Hulu. I don't think they have those on YouTube anymore.
You know who's also too alive?
Larry Sanders?
Larry Sanders is too alive. A little bit.
Here's how I wouldn't earn playing time. If my playing time was sporadic and I wasn't able to really secure a definite spot over Zaza Pachulia, I wouldn't start swinging on people in a bar with champagne bottles, allegedly.
Well, Coach Larry Drew wants him to be tougher and more aggressive.
That is aggressive, and
make up your mind. Be consistent, Zach.
I guess that's truly a pick and pop. No?
Well, let's wrap it up for the CBS Sports Podcast.
That's our 3-minute episode for today.
There's no real recovery from that, so.
Zaza Pachulia was 10-for-10 from the line last night, though.
He's been killing teams. Yeah, he's been killing teams from the line. But yeah, so got a bar fight Saturday night. Apparently, there's rumors that he hurt his thumb, and that's actually the reason that he's out. That it wasn't suspension; it was that he hurt himself.
Yeah, he's listed as a DNP sprained right thumb.
Yeah, so he's got a thumb injury because apparently.
Well, the tricky thing is when you're swinging those bottles, you really want to. You can't leave the thumb exposed, but that's really the way to get the best grip. So if you're not connecting square with the massive part of the bottle, then you're just liable to crack a knuckle or sprain it. It's so much in just like shooting, swinging a champagne bottle. Form is everything.
Well, I think that the secret there is you have to hold through contact and release.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely have to, and the release is something maybe people don't realize. And maybe like a better grip is to kind of do that over the top thing.
Yeah.
Where you re-grip it. I don't know if he was wearing a baseball cap, but turning that around definitely will help you get in the right mindset.
Can you imagine getting hit in the head with a champagne bottle by Larry Sanders?
No, that would hurt a lot. I've been hit in the head with a bottle before, as like a, hey, we should see if this kind of stuff actually works. Not one of the brightest moments of my life.
Your friends are idiots.
Oh my God. So much so. I can't even tell you how stupid we are. This was years ago. I mean, I was probably 19 or 20.
I'm also surprised I did not do this at
But it's one of those things where those things don't break that easily.
Yeah.
I think in the first rabbit hole post I did, I ended it with a video of guys breaking bottles over each other's heads. And And those points, like, I never had one broken over my head, but those points where it just sounded like this really loud clunk, that's what happened to me, and that hurts. I mean, it hurts so much. So a champagne bottle coming from a, what is he, 6'9", 240? That's a solid 240? There's no way that feels good.
The Warriors broke a bottle over the Wolves' head last
Ooh,
night.
Ooh, they were establishing themselves.
I was really surprised. I thought the Minnesota was, I mean, I felt like they had a good chance of being competitive in that game, and then
the starters were competitive. I mean, the bench is, it's a problem. I mean, I'm writing about it right now, not for CBS, but it's because who the hell wants to read that? But it's a thing where people are saying, oh, you got to play Alexei Shved, you got to play Alexei Shved. He can't play.
Really?
He just can't play.
Because he was last year?
Here's the thing. They got a scouting report on him 2 months in, and when did he fall off? 2 months in.
2 months in.
You get a scout. He doesn't know how to adjust, and he's just like, he has potential, but he can't play. So if you're Rick Adelman, what do you do? Do you keep throwing a guy out there that puts you at a 4-on-5 disadvantage every time? He's got to keep trying different stuff, and then there are Wolves fans that got mad at Adelman last night because Barea was guarding Klay Thompson, but the Warriors went big. They went with a lineup of, like, Jermaine O'Neal, David Lee, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, and Harrison Barnes with Iggy running the point. And it's like, where do you want him to put Barea? He can't take him out because Alexei Shved can't play. And not that Barea did a good job on offense, but if you take him out, you're taking away the chance of running an offense. If you put Shved in, you have no chance of defending, and you have no chance of running an offense. So, they were just at a loss, and the Warriors are just a better team. They're just
flat. A lineup out there of Barea, Cunningham. Let's see what? Barea, Cunningham, Martin, Pekovic, and Derek Williams. Ugh.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Minus five in 3 minutes.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah, they just couldn't. They couldn't match with the second unit, and. Some people are freaking out. Like, I don't know. The Warriors are a much better team. We knew this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'd like it to be more competitive, but them's the breaks. You got to get better.
Ricky Rubio not looking great this year.
He had a horrible game. Good first two games. Really good first two games. Last three have not been good. He was okay. Well, he's okay for part of the Knicks game. But he was bad in Cleveland. He was bad last night. And it's not even... You can harp on shooting. It's not shooting. It's his passing was sloppy last night. And yeah. So if he's not even passing well, like his defense was great. He locked down Steph Curry. Did a great job on Curry. He even locked him down too much because he fell on his foot and hurt either his foot, his ankle, or his knee. I have no idea what they... Curry was limping around when it happened. They call a timeout. He leaves the floor. They start working on his knee. And so you start thinking, oh, okay, maybe it's not the ankle, it's his knee problem. And then after the game, I think they announced it as like a bruised foot. Something on his body hurts.
Yeah, after he tripped awkwardly over Rubio, and everyone's like, yeah, that's right, it's not the ankle. Okay, sure, see you there.
Well,
no one believes that.
Well, he didn't trip on Rubio fell on his foot.
Yeah. Oh, I'm saying he tripped on Rubio after Rubio fell on him.
Oh, right.
You know, which is like saying, like, I hit you with my face when you swung your fist wildly at me.
Yeah, I don't know that people would have predicted that Rubio and Curry shot the same in that game, but they were both 2-for-8.
I do love it because there's like so much confidence. There's always like, nah, like Curry's fine. There's nothing to worry about. I'm not worried at all. And then like this happens, and all of Warriors Nation is like,
you know, who's a good shooter? Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson's amazing. That kid.
He is a really good shooter.
30 points on 11 to 21. 6-9 from three.
It was an easy 30.
David Lee, 22 and 15, but he can't play.
Right. Well, it was the. I just love basketball analysis. Lee played fantastic. He was really good. There were Warriors fans like, oh, David Lee's out playing Kevin Love. Well, if you looked at the coverages, the Wolves decided to shut down the perimeter, so they swarmed the perimeter and let Lee go one-on-one against Love. Now, Love could have played it better, but Love played it safe a lot of time. He got in position, made Lee make shots in the lane over him, and Lee did it, and that's really good. Love's defense could have been better, but it wasn't atrocious. It was decent enough, you know, and Lee just made shots. Whereas on the other end, Kevin Love's getting double and triple teamed whenever he gets the ball in the paint. And so it's like, well, they're a little bit different circumstances there. But yeah, you can keep comparing them because they're white power forwards that can shoot and rebound.
How do you think Pekovic is playing?
Horrible.
Right now?
Horrible.
Yeah.
His defense was okay. His defense has been pretty solid, but he's not really rebounding, and he's just missing shots around the hoop. And this happened last year, even without Love there. He was missing, like, the first 4 weeks, I want to say, he missed just a lot of shots around the basket. Just a lot of easy shots he should make around the basket, and we're seeing that again. And I don't really know how to explain it. He didn't really seem to know either, and they've just kind of started cycling through, like, he's got to make shots. And it's true. Like, he has to be effective. He said he's still trying to figure out how to play with two volume shooters, with Love and Martin, and that's not a dig at them. You know, he's just like, I'm not quite sure where to go. And so, he'll eventually figure out how to plant inside, and if he seals it, they'll pass it to him, I think. Well, I know Love will pass it to him. I don't know if Martin will pass it to him.
Not that I watch the show because it's not on CBS, but maybe it's like that dude in Community where, like, he's upset because he misses the smell of blood in the morning.
I don't watch Community. I don't like it.
That's okay. I support you. I support your right to not like the show.
Yeah.
I'm bummed out about Utah.
Yeah, what
basically
happened?
Basically, any team that loses the Boston this year is gonna bum me out.
You really hate this Boston team.
They are the worst. This is just the worst. They are the Brita. They are terrible. They are. I'm trying to think what they are. They're the garnish you can't eat. They are.
I feel you know, people say you can eat parsley. I don't like eating parsley.
Parsley, I would classify as occasionally garnish you can't eat.
Yeah, parsley I feel like doesn't have much taste, and they always pass it off. Well, it takes on the taste of what you're eating. Well, just give me what I'm eating then, so it doesn't take it on. I just have that full effect.
The Celtics are when you get the combo taco platter, and then you have two of them, and they're both amazing, and you're really excited, and then the third one's disappointing. That's what the Celtics are.
And you never know which one to eat in order. So you're like, okay, I'll eat this, and if you would just switch the order once, you would have ended on an amazing experience.
Yeah, it's like you had carne asada, and then you had like a really wonderful grilled chicken or a fish taco, and then the last one's like ground beef.
Right.
That's what Boston is. It's a ground beef taco.
Sure. Maybe a duck taco, because Kelly Olynyk had 14-8.
Yeah, yes, and he did things that mostly because the Jazz were playing him stupid, just overcommitting on lots of things.
Oh, you're so bitter about the Celtics team.
They're not good. They're the worst team. They're TWTIB. They're the worst team in basketball.
You know who's good? Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward is good.
He's fantastic.
The big game of the night, though, was Indiana and Chicago.
I don't know if the Bulls are in trouble, but I know the Pacers are not.
Pacers are not in trouble. It was really gratifying. You know, I wish I'd written like a bigger thing about it yesterday, because it truly, honestly was this. We talked about that extra gear with Chicago.
Yeah.
It was close. It was competitive. It was tough. And then the Pacers hit the extra gear. And the Bulls were just left jogging beside them, just jogging behind. Like, the Pacers turned it on and sprinted through the finish line, and the Bulls were just going the same speed they always go. Hard. Jogging hard.
Yeah.
Can't go any harder.
After the game, Roy Hibbert tweeted, DPOY, good night. And then apparently somebody gave him crap about it. And he told him to shut up, that he has goals. And then he tweeted something about, like, it's okay for me to have personal goals. Me being defensive player of the year helps my team, which I completely agree with. And this is not me just liking Roy. Like, like wanting to be the defensive player of the year is one of the least selfish things you can do.
He's like us, and he's more like you than me, but in general, he's like us, where he says things on Twitter, and then when people want to criticize or question it, we get mad.
Yeah.
We're like,
yeah.
Like, no, I just wanted to say this. Go away.
There's certain times I'm expressing a belief, and I don't give a damn what you have to say about it.
Really don't care.
Those times are usually any time that has a number in the time.
Yeah, I started looking at some stats last night on
him. Oh, my God. He's dominating the paint.
Last night when he was on the court, the Bulls shot 31% inside 5 feet.
That sounds low.
They had an 81 offensive rating.
My God.
They scored 81 points per 100 possessions. The best part was Bulls fans were like, that high? Sounds high. Are you sure about that?
He's just one of these guys that's dominating the floor without really being a factor on offense. Like, he's okay on offense, but he is rebounding and he's blocking shots and shutting down the lane. And it's, you know, it's only 5 games, but it's, you know, he's got, what, 26 blocks right now?
It makes you kind of realize, no offense, but it makes you kind of realize how kind of stupid the NFL schedule is. Like, there's no way you can play as many games as I wouldn't want them to, because it's 35 car wrecks a game for these people.
Right.
But the Bulls season would be over right now.
Oh, yeah. They'd be done.
It's done. Like, their Bulls season, it's like, hey, nice job. See you next year. You know, disappointing. Maybe next year they'll do a little bit better.
That's
but 1-3, it's like they're done.
Yeah.
They're not coming back from that.
That's what – there's, you know, that big push, like, oh, we got to shorten the season. What if it was 48 games? What if it was 62 games? It's like, I'm cool cutting 10 games off. I'd be fine with that. But any more than that, I really think you screw with the rhythm of a basketball season, you know?
Yeah. Because part of it is the Bulls can suck for, like, another week and a half and then still win 62 games.
Yeah. Yeah, they have about probably a week and a half to 2 weeks to start getting into gear.
And that's kind of the difference, is that Chicago's 1-3, and I could say they're not playing well right now. They're really not good right now. Like, the first couple of games, like the first two games, it was, well, they're not playing great right now. They're having some problems. And now I'm like, well, no, they are not very good right now.
Right.
But I can still feel very confident that they're going to wind up as a 1 or 2 seed. Versus, say, Boston is 1-4, and I know definitively this is the worst team in basketball. It's not close.
I don't know. There might be some crossing planes midseason once Rondo comes back and the Sixers are out.
Yeah, and hey, Washington finally got the snide last night, so yeah. Good for them.
Yeah, all it took was taking the Sixers seriously.
Yep. My call of Charlotte to cover the -5 versus Toronto, that was like the easiest one of the night. Like, the Raptors are a very decent team.
Yeah, they're solid.
Yeah. They're doing this. They just went back-to-back versus New York and Toronto without Al Jefferson.
Yeah.
Gerald Henderson was great last night.
MKG was pretty good. Like, he was
that's
just
back-to-back nights where MKG's like, don't have a jumper. Oh, well. He's just getting to the rim. He's just causing
– he's just
creating mayhem. He's doing what he needs to do, which is he's being, I guess, because of the jumper, a worse version of Gerald Wallace.
Like, or he's kind of like a super – he's like the Warren Buffett of Corey Brewer.
That's a good one. Yeah. He is the middle point between Corey Brewer and Andre Iguodala. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Loves outlet pass, by the way, last night. Oof.
Oh, my God. Those things are so fun to watch in person. Because especially from my angle, like on TV you can see where it's falling, but from my angle, it's like you just don't have that depth perception to know where the defender is, so you just see it, like from my perspective, it looks like it's just creeping over the defender's hand. It's just, oh my God, they're beautiful. I would make stupid love to those outlet passes.
I have to go on Memphis Radio here in about an hour. And the question I'm going to be getting is it time to panic?
Here's the thing. Maybe it will be. I don't know. Zach Randolph leaving in the middle of the game because the birth of his son, I believe. That is an awesome thing. That is a true – like, that is being a man, I feel like. Like, that's an awesome thing. And I don't, you know, it probably changes whether or not they are more competitive in that game, you know? I just think that, I think you throw that game out last night. And not to say that the games before that aren't evidence of maybe it's time to panic, but dude left for the birth of his kid, and they, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like they had many answers after that. And I think that, I don't know, I just think that's a cool story that's probably going to get buried in a sea of panic.
I mean, it's great that he left, but they were 8 minutes in, and they were down 10 when he left.
Sure, but I mean, that's 8 minutes of a game.
I don't know, man.
We can't preach samples. We can't preach sample size and then talk about 8 minutes of game meaning something.
I would tell you, I don't preach that about sample size. I would tell you to go. I would tell you to watch some of this because I don't know. They can't score and they're not getting stops. No. Let me rephrase that. Not getting stops means that you're playing pretty good defense and the result's not coming. They're not playing good defense. Defense is bad. It's bad against the Celtics.
You've got to get over the Celtics thing.
There's trouble. I
don't think there's trouble. They might panic all the time. Put this way,
they can be fine tomorrow. I'm not at a point with any team outside of the ones that we know going in have roster issues. I wasn't worried until these last two. These last two have me worried. Not terrified. I'm not saying panic. I'm just saying.
I just don't even know how you judge this game.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And Mike Conley got hurt and Jared Bayless got hurt. But
now, if those injuries are serious, then, yeah, be concerned. But your best scorer left the game 8 minutes in, whether he was
it didn't seem like Randolph left and then all of a sudden the team felt was like, oh, well, okay.
Zach's I'm sure it's not, but you take away a pretty big ebb and flow of the game at that point. It's not like for every
lose their ability to make a run.
Yeah, it's not like for every 8 minutes of the game he would have been out there, they would have lost 10 more points on the scoreboard, you know?
Marcus Saul had one rebound last night.
Yeah, that's weird.
He's not playing good defense, which I don't understand.
The classic DPOY hangover.
Yeah, I don't have anything I can point to with this team and say that they're doing it well.
Yeah.
That I think is the problem, is that the other teams that are in kind of the situation, I can point to things and say, well, they're doing things well. There's nothing I can point to with the Grizzlies and say they're doing well right now.
On the bright side,
haven't done anything well.
On the bright side, Tyreke Evans finally had a good game.
Yeah, one of my favorite writers, well, she's not really a writer, but Sarah Tulser, she used to write at a Hornets site. She kind of pointed out like that. She's like, yeah, I'm not really feeling it. I know he had a good game, but he doesn't really understand the whole passing to other people on the floor thing.
Yeah, that's weird.
But he did have horses last night. Apparently, he is a little bit. But I mean, I like this Pelicans team. I just don't really understand what they're doing, what they are right now. Like, they're so inconsistent game to game. It's weird.
Yeah.
Milwaukee put up the highest offensive efficiency of the night, which I did not see coming.
because they started backcourt of Nate Walters and OJ Mayo.
Man, OJ was gunning last night.
I like that.
He was throwing some balls at the rim.
Weird. That's really weird. John Henson played 39 minutes and finished with 14 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks. That looks like production.
Ersan Ilyasova, DNP, sore right ankle. That's why. Don't get used to it.
But he can play. He's better than Ilyasova. I don't understand this.
Wait, what?
John Henson's better than Ersan Ilyasova.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd take him 100 times out of 100.
That's bold. But, sure. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. Ekpe Udoh came back last night, which just makes me happy.
That's fun. Plus minus King.
You tell Gary Neal is loving this. He had 15 shots in 30 minutes.
Deion Waiters had a good offensive game.
He did. He's almost above more points than shots. He's almost to it. He's real close.
Yeah. And Anthony Bennett hit a shot.
See, yeah, kids, he's off the side.
Stick to it. He and
Kyrie had a monster game right up to the point. Kyrie had a monster game right up to the point where he dribbled it off his foot.
Oh, I saw that turnover. That was unfortunate.
Just dribbled off his foot.
Yeah. Whoop. Nothing you can do about that. I mean, you could not dribble it off your foot, but at that point, nothing you can do.
You can't really do that. Oh, wait, it's too late. I was cracking up, though, because Cavs fans were like, you know, I think he was anticipating the double and was surprised and they didn't foul. And I'm like, no, he just dribbled it off his foot.
I think he put his foot too far out in front of his dribble.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That happens sometimes when you just rush it. And it looked like he rushed it and he just dribbled off his foot. It happens. It's not like he's afraid of the clutch time. Or, you know, it's just that's a mistake that happened.
Yeah. It wasn't sort of a complicated defensive scheme.
I knew
it's just like you walking into a door.
Right. I knew that it was a close game with like a minute left. So, and the internet at the Target Center was working, which was weird. When the internet works, the offense doesn't. There you go. and so I flipped it on League Pass on my laptop, and I'm expecting like to see, you know, a last minute of action, but I'm not really paying attention to like the entire screen. I'm just kind of watching out of the corner of my eye, and I see them run a play for a face-up jumper for Tristan Thompson on like an isolation. I was like, what the hell is Mike Brown doing? Well, there was like a glitch in the League Pass broadband module where it like just put me at like 11:20 in the first quarter. But I think that this is like a crunch time play that they're running. I was like, what is going on? That was a bewildering moment for me until I realized.
Need a bucket. Tristan Thompson, face-up. even on the back to even versus the team on the back to back, I was really impressed with Orlando last night.
Yeah, Chris Paul kind of had comments after the game of we need to respect our opponent or take them seriously or something along those lines, which takes away from what Orlando did. But Orlando's been doing this, right? Like we're five games in with them.
Yeah, and I think they're kind of fine with it. I think they're more of the no, you don't really need to respect us.
Yeah. Nope. It's a weird balance because, you know, and we talked about that after the first game. It's you don't want to be disrespectful of what they're doing because they're trying and they're playing well. But there is that thing of, and the same thing with the Sixers and maybe even the Suns at this point, like, who is taking them seriously going into those games? And you just consistently we see that you cannot do that in the NBA. You cannot take your opponent lightly.
We're entering the point with Nikola Vucevic, where I'm starting to wonder what his trade value is in terms of what would you have to throw at Orlando to get them to move him?
Yeah.
30 points on 19 shots with 21 rebounds.
Yeah.
Holy blah. He's just killing everyone.
Yeah.
Come watch him. He's just killing everyone.
Yeah. He just moves guys out of position. It's crazy.
Yeah, the Clippers were, the shooting efficiency kind of reflects, like, just back-to-back. That's just...
Yeah, and maybe that was it. Or maybe Orlando just played really well, you know?
I think it was both. I mean, I think the difference is it probably would have been closer. I mean, it was close to the end, but it probably would have been even closer, and the Clippers probably would have won. But, I mean, 38% from the field for the Clippers is just... that you look at that and you go, that's back-to-back.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
That's why I was off them on the grades. I was just like, yep, nope. This is a lot for Orlando. The Orlando's in year two of the rebuilding mode, and losing to them is acceptable.
Yeah,
it's no longer like a disastrous thing.
Yeah, you can see, you could just see like a year from now, maybe 2 years, but probably a year from now, this team's just gonna be a problem.
Yeah,
I mean they're one really good player or two pretty good players away from just being a filthy problem.
Like losing to them is like, oh no, that's okay. Like they're a good team. This happens. Yeah. Versus, you know, losing to Boston. Yeah, not the same.
Oh my god.
See, now you just got me going. So now I just want.
I didn't do anything. You got mad because Memphis barely beat them.
That was irritated, but I watching them before. I watched some like watching their going back, and I was like, oh, I should probably catch up on Boston. And every time I would try, I would have to like withhold my gag reflex. It was just. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little confused why the Spurs aren't beating the pants off some of these teams more.
I think they don't care.
Yeah.
They're a team that doesn't have to take an opponent seriously, and they can execute well enough to they can just be robots and still win these games.
But they do that, and they still win by like 8 or 9 or 10.
Yeah, I mean they didn't. Yeah, I mean I don't even really know what it was. Like they're not a big free throw team anyway, but they didn't really get to the free throw line against Phoenix.
I mean, I guess that's the question. If you're the Spurs, do you need to nitpick? Because there are teams where like they're gonna win, and you actually like the Clippers. I think are one where they should nitpick because they need to be great this season. They need to be absolutely amazing this season.
Yeah, they have to set a tone every night.
Yeah, versus the Spurs, maybe don't. Maybe they don't need a nitpick.
No, they were. I mean, not to bring up a sore subject, but they're 28 seconds away from a championship last year, and they're the same team basically. And them beating the pants off the Suns a week and a half into the season means nothing. It means nothing to them. As long as they get the W, that's all that matters. And they're just above it all. They're above everything in the regular season. It just doesn't matter to them. Or maybe it kind of matters, but it shouldn't matter.
There's a lot of the not taking teams seriously going around, which is kind of weird. It's early for that, is my point. I'm used to seeing it in January, not now.
I wonder, I don't know how much players pay attention to this crap, but probably not all that much. But I wonder how much of it is just like everyone's talking about tanking and preparing for the draft and all this, you know? Yeah. Like, I wonder if that permeates into the actual NBA culture outside of like just NBA fans and NBA pundits talking about it.
Hey, here's something neat. Oklahoma City is not completely doomed.
It's like they reacquired one of the best guards in the league. That's what it feels like. Now, I know they got Derek Fisher back last year, I believe. So they've had him for some time. But yeah, it's like they got Derek Fisher back.
Jeremy Lamb did stuff. That was good.
He did stuff. Steven Adams is officially a man.
Is a man?
His comment after the game was fantastic. It was like, oh no, I felt it. I don't like to show an effect of those things or something along those lines. I was like, oh my God.
Like being able to say to yourself, don't react. You just got elbowed in the face. Because I would do the exact opposite, which is like, I would just like throw myself to the ground crying. Why did you hit me?
They call a timeout for you, and you're just like, I need two timeouts right now.
For some reason, this reminds me of this Henry Rollins bit. Henry Rollins talks about he was in a Middle Eastern or a Middle European country, and it was his first time there, and it was back in his punk days with Black Flag, and it was when he was with the Rollins band, and this guy spit on him like four times. And so he reared back and just punched him in the mouth. Just punched this guy in the mouth because it's a punk show and this stuff happens. And afterwards, the guy comes up to him and he's like, you know, he's walking up to him and Rollins is like, all right, you want to go? You want to go? Let's go. And the guy's like, why did you hit me? And Rollins is like, what? Why you hit me? And Rollins is like, well, you spit on me. That's how we show affection in my country. You are my favorite band. I wait all year for you to come and you hit me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. That's what it reminded me of.
Man, if you're in a culture where spitting on people is showing affection, come on. That seems weird to me.
Yeah, well, we have Steven Seagal and Duck Dynasty. So.
Don't you dare badmouth Steven Seagal.
Don't you dare.
Above the Law is one of the greatest action movies of all time.
But not comparable with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I think you and I are both in agreement.
Oh, no, it's all JCVD. I would say that outside of Under Siege, there's not a single Seagal movie that can touch even Hard Target. We're not even getting into Bloodsport and Kickboxer and any of that. Like, couldn't touch Hard Target.
Let's classify Starship Troopers as a sci-fi film. And okay. what is your actual favorite bad action movie?
You know what's a really underrated one? Nowhere to Run with Van Damme. But I'm going to say Universal Soldier. Universal Soldier is just... Well, are we counting Bloodsport as bad?
No, Bloodsport's good.
Because I feel like it's a really good movie.
Yeah, Bloodsport's good.
Okay, I would say Universal Soldier.
American Ninja 2 is my choice.
I almost went Demolition Man.
That's not a bad movie. That's an amazing movie. It's the future. It's the future.
The future where Taco Bell is everything. Taco Bell's gourmet.
Okay, you want to do picks?
Yeah, let's do picks. I do, like, just reiterate, Russell Westbrook's really good and the Thunder are fine. Yeah, right?
They're really good.
Yeah, they're pretty darn good when he's in the lineup.
Okay, yeah, pretty good slate tonight. Clippers are on the road on a back-to-back in Miami. Heat are 5.5-point favorites.
Ooh.
Opened at 3.5. It's up to 5.5.
Oh, man. That line is a temptress.
Yeah, she's showing some leg.
Showing some leg. She's tying cherry stems with her tongue. Doing all kinds of stuff. Painting her nails at the bar. I don't know if that would actually be tempting. That would just be high maintenance.
Yeah, I wouldn't want any part of that.
Yeah, because then you gotta wait for them to dry. It's a whole thing. I'm going Miami.
Yeah, me too. I think the Heat are definitely in that only when we care mode.
Yeah.
So Denver is a 3.5-point favorite tonight versus the Hawks. I will probably not be there because my eyes are still messed up.
Yeah, you still have to be able to see to drive, right?
Yeah.
We don't have those Time Cop cars that drive for you.
They're working on those, actually, I found out. That they're very close to the whole Minority Report thing where the cars just drive themselves.
Time Cop might be that movie for me.
I'm very excited about this idea. I love the idea of just taking the human element out.
Oh, my God, I would take a nap.
Yeah.
That would be great. You feel like Denver's got to win, right? They're not going 0-82?
Not counting our chickens before they're hatched.
I like this Hawks team. I feel like this is a trap game for me specifically. In picking.
I took Nuggets. I took the Nuggets because...
they're at home.
The Hawks are just so inconsistent defensively right now.
Yeah.
I think they'll be better by the end of the year once they get some scheme stuff down, but right now they're really inconsistent. And you learn – we saw it with Boston, not necessarily last night, but the game before versus the Grizzlies. Teams get desperate for that win.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'll go I'll go Denver. I can't believe it.
The other reason you probably want to go Denver here is that the Hawks are at the end of a long – they're at the end of a long road trip. This is like almost a week now.
That's true.
It's like 5 or 6 days, and I saw them last year at this time. And granted, they were on a back to back in the middle of a long, kind of losing road trip. But those teams get just pissed off, and they're not happy. They just want to go home.
Yeah, yeah. Denver's a pick.
And then the game of the night, Dwight Howard faces his old team, not in LA but in Houston. Rockets are 13.5-point favorites against the Los Angeles
Lakers.
That
is a lot of points.
Yep.
Those are a lot of points. That's the correct English. I'm a writer. Those are a lot of points.
I actually believe that is a lot of points is the correct because it's...
A lot? What is a lot? Is a lot
plural
there?
It's talking about a specific amount. Maybe those are a lot of points?
Those are some points. Those are some points. Lakers aren't going to get blown out, are they? This could be one of those annoying games where they stay in it for no reason. Give me the Rockets.
Yeah. My answers to that are, yes, they are going to get blown out. And
yes, they're very capable of losing to a good team by a lot of points.
Yeah. All right, yes, they are going to get blown out. And and no, I do not think they hang around. I think that this team can't defend worth a crap. I don't think they're very good. I think they're a team that maybe is going to play well at home under certain circumstances versus certain teams, but overall, I do not like their chances.
Can I ask a favor of just everything going around talking about basketball right now? It's not going to happen, but I have to vent a little bit. We got to stop saying this team is a top five defensive team a week into the season. Or this team is this, this team is that. It drives me crazy. If this team can maintain a top two defensive rating, then they're going to be, shut up. It's 5 games in. We got to stop that. We really have to stop that. Once we get to, what would you say is a good sample size? Like 20 games? Is it less than that? Is it more than that? I usually shoot for like 20 to 25 games.
Here's where I end up on it. I don't say definitively things. I say that they're playing. I always say they're playing well right now.
Yeah, that I'm fine with. But it's the whole, how did the Bucks? It's like the whole how did the Bucks score against the Cavs? Cavs are top two defense right now. You know?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
But the difference there, though, is when you look at the other games, if you're able to back it up by having watched it, and you're like, wow, the Cavs have played well defensively. That was the thing, is the Cavs have played well defensively. Mike Brown's a good defensive coach. They have some good defensive personnel. The Bucks have very little in the way of offensive efficiency.
Sure. Maybe it's just a semantics, me nitpicking and being a prick, but that kind of stuff drives me crazy. It's like, oh, are the Timberwolves going to be able to score against them tonight? Well, I don't know. They're going against top four defense.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that you don't want to do definitive statements. Everything is very liquid right now. Yeah. I would just say that I do put more stock into trends than I think other people do.
Yeah.
I tend to be more. This is where this team is trending right now. And you say, is 4 games a trend? And I go, me, yeah. Like it depends. Like it's week to week, because there are weeks when I have really good weeks. This is not one of them.
you are trending towards death right now.
Yeah, I'm trending towards death. My whole household is trending towards death. Kid's been throwing up for 2 days. Can't see.
Man, you gotta get that kid an exorcist.
It's bad. It's bad. You were looking pretty good last night, and then we wound up splitting on some of them. You foolishly took the Raptors. That was not advisable. I foolishly took the Sixers.
Yeah, you gotta know that train. That train is dead.
The Mavs pick, I think it was decent on your part.
Yeah, I thought I thought the Thunder would win, but I thought it would be close.
And you did the Suns. That was wise.
Yeah, it was 4, right? I think the line was 4. They lost by 3.
Actually, I think it was more than that. I think it was a wider margin.
Oh, okay.
It was
7, maybe.
I have it right here.
7.5.
13.
Oh, look at me.
Yeah, see, I was counting on the Spurs to do the whole dominant blowout because they're the Spurs thing, and instead the Spurs screwed around and the Suns hung.
So. And then we have the same picks tonight.
So we do. So there will be no movement either way in terms of loss or gain. Right now in the year, you're 16-25-1. I'm 37-29-3.
I feel like tonight we're just Thelma and Louise riding off that canyon.
Holding hands together.
Yeah, holding hands.
An image I don't think anyone wanted.
What's worse is I'm picturing it with us with the wigs. Who does that make?
Is it like in Wayne's World where the hell sequence happens?
Does that make Royce Brad Pitt?
Now I just feel like there are scenes that are supposed to be more that are thought to be more iconic than they are, because I feel like that one qualifies.
Yeah, any scene that involves Kate Hudson, they think this is really going to do something, and they don't realize they have Kate Hudson in the movie. And that even...
No, Almost Famous.
Almost Famous is a great movie, but the scenes with her are actually not that good.
She's present when they sing Tiny Dancer, so...
Yeah, she almost ruins it, though.
That's harsh. I love Kate Hudson in Almost Famous.
Okay, in that movie, I can see that. Overall, she's a horrendous actress. Horrendous. If you want to be truly annoyed at the world, watch the movie You, Me, and Dupree. And there's a scene where she and Matt Dillon are driving home from like going out or something, and they're trying to sing "Smooth Operator," and they're switching it up and saying "Smooth Margaritas," and it really made me want to burn the world down. Awful scene. That's my feeling on Kate Hudson.
Let's do a weird over under. How about? Who will have more rebounds? Who will have the most rebounds in Hawks Nuggets?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to go J.J. Hickson.
I'll go Fareed. He's gotten the start.
He's going to get hooked 3 minutes in.
That's JaVale. That is. Okay, good roundup. Nice, quick, nice, easy podcast. Easy breezy.
Yeah, easy breezy, beautiful cover girl. Thanks, Matt.